There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore.
I want to draw your attention this morning to Exodus chapter 4. If you have your scriptures with you and want to read along with us, there's a subject that's on my mind this morning. And it is addressed throughout the life of a man named Moses. The scripture teaches us that Moses was a figure, a type and a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not just something that we as readers of the New Testament can imply ourselves by looking at Jesus Christ and by looking back at the life of Moses and saying that Moses is a type of Christ. We can look to the scriptures themselves in Acts chapter 7 and see that God declared Moses to be a type of Christ. In the sermon that Stephen preached that's recorded in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, the scripture says that the Lord himself shall raise up a prophet among you. This is the voice of Moses speaking, that like unto me, him shall ye hear. Those words are the Lord telling us that Moses, there's things in the life of Moses that is a type of the life of Jesus Christ. God's word confirms that to us. So that when we read these stories about Moses, what we see is a lot of stories and pictures of the Savior that was to come later on. Now, we could certainly take the time this morning and go through the multitude. I believe that I've seen someone that's gone through and pointed out as many as upwards of 75 types and shadows that Moses serves as a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. But that's not our mind is this morning. We may point some out in some of these that we wish to bring your attention to. But nevertheless, I'd like to focus this morning on Moses, a man blessed by God to overcome many challenges. As I read through the life of Moses, I don't not only see a figure that existed a couple of thousand years ago that was able to lead God's people, I see a lot of things that he faced, a lot of challenges that he faced that you and I can look at and say, if God blessed Moses to overcome these things, then the Lord is showing us that He will bless us to overcome these things in our lives. You know, the things that they faced back then, sure, there was a different setting. They rode camels. They rode donkeys. They lived in a different region of the world. They didn't have air conditioning and heating in our homes like a lot of us have today. But it doesn't change the fact that a lot of the things that they faced are the very challenges that we face today if we're able to look and see ourselves in their footsteps. The first that I want to draw your attention to today, the challenge that Moses faced in his service to God, and that the Lord blessed him to be able to overcome in his service to God, is a rebellious family. A rebellious family. Now we find ourselves here in Exodus chapter 4 at the point in time when Moses is returning to go to Egypt, where the God has sent him to go deliver the Lord's people. We find that while he was gone, and while he was gone to Midian, whenever he had fled the presence of Egypt, if you'll remember, because he slew an Egyptian and the Jews called his hand, when he fled and he went to the home of a man named Jethro, and he became a shepherd in that particular man's house. And the Lord blessed Moses to take a wife of the daughters of Jethro. Her name was Zipporah. And not only was he blessed with a wife from this man, he was blessed with children from this man. And the scripture records that now here, if we start in verse 24 of Exodus chapter 4, we read where Moses had started his return unto Egypt. And we read an event that takes place here between Moses and his son and his wife named Zipporah. The scripture says, "And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, 'Surely a bloody husband art thou to me.' So he let him go. Then she said, 'A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision.'" You know, many times we're led to believe that whenever God is working in our lives, that when God is leading us to do something in our lives, that in order for us to confirm for sure that God is in the matter, that means everybody in our inner circle must be in and must be on page with what we're doing. That is, that they must be obedient to all the things of God. If we ourselves are called into obedience and we want to follow the Lord, then that means that He's going to bring everybody else to a point where they're going to be obedient as well. You know, if you go through and you read the experiences of many people throughout the Word of God, what you'll find is that a lot of them face and followed God even in the midst of those nearest and dearest to them not being obedient to the commandments of God. What is the commandment that is referred to here in these particular verses I've read to you? It's the commandment of circumcision. If you go back to Genesis chapter 17, you'll see that God made a covenant with Abraham and told Abraham that upon the eighth day after the birth of every male child, they shall be circumcised. Moses knew it. And even though Moses had fled from the people of Israel, if you will, and was dwelling in another land, that commandment was still true. It still rested upon Moses to circumcise his child. You know, God has called Moses and He's come to him in the form of a burning bush to show that this is indeed God that's calling you into His service to go and to lead my people. There was a lot of things that Moses saw that knew it had to be of God. And here he goes. He takes out. Bless his heart. We're going to look at something else he questions God about. But he goes. He follows God in the commandments that God has told him. And he's going back to Egypt. But he finds himself, whenever he's staying overnight at an inn between Midian and Egypt, that the Lord came and the scripture says that he sought to kill him. You know, some people, if they read that, they'll say, "No, not our God." You know, the vision of God that exists in this world today is one that's just all love and of none rebuke and of none of chastening whatsoever. But I tell you, that's not the God of this word. If we go over to the New Testament and we read where the Lord addressed the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, what you'll read is that He confronted them about how they were partaking of the communion supper. And He comes, and the Apostle Paul addresses and said that you come together to partake of a communion supper, and some of you haven't even eaten supper. You're sitting down and you're eating unleavened bread to fill yourself up. You're drinking wine to the excess, to the point that you're getting drunk. And He points out to them, He says, if you take of this supper unworthily, he that partaketh of this supper unworthily drinketh damnation unto himself. Some of you are weak, some of you are sick, and some of you sleep, is what the Apostle Paul told those at Corinth. Now, he's not telling them that they're just, you know, napping. What he's telling them is, your disobedience is bringing death upon you. The wages of sin is death. And I tell you, if you've ever thought about that, the But sometimes when you can't think of the word, the best thing to do is just get a swallow of water and hope it somehow comes to you before you set it back down. But if you think about the countenance on the face of ones who are in such a disobedience unto God, what you see is a poorly countenance. There's a reason why the Scriptures refers to the countenance, that His countenance was so marred. The Lord Jesus Christ, why was it? Was it because of His disobedience? No, it was because our disobedience rested upon Him, and His countenance was so marred above any man. It was because it rested upon Him. He was sick, sick unto death, because He bore those things for us. Here you find Moses, and he has not been obedient to the commandments of God. He has not circumcised his son. And when he calls upon, he's laying there as dead. And he calls upon his wife to do the circumcision for him. And look at the support that he gets. She says, "Thou art a bloody husband unto me." I tell you what, that's just what every minister of the gospel needs, is a wife that says, "Boy, you're just a bunch of trouble to me." You think about what Job's wife said unto him. Whenever Job was being faced by the many challenges that he faced, and all she did was comment that she wished he would die. But nevertheless, here we see that Moses, he still did what was right. He commanded that child be circumcised. God was not going to allow him to come back into the assembly of the Israelites in his disobedience and not circumcising his child. You know, the thought may enter our mind that indeed there's challenge, that indeed if we're going to obey God, then everybody around us is just going to be brought to a point of obedience. You don't believe that, not for a second. I tell you what, some of the biggest blessings that you'll have here this side of glory will come whenever those that are nearest and dearest to you don't exactly see it, but God is showing you something to see how faithful that you're going to be unto Him. And he saw here, Moses, he still, in the face of having a rebellious wife, he still did what was right. You know, the Scriptures refer not only to rebellious spouses. You think of rebellious children. And you think about how a lot of people use that as an excuse to not come to church. To use that as an excuse of not doing what's right. I just can't get my child to do what's right at home. I tell you, it's a grief unto a mother and a daddy whenever a child is disobedient. If you go through the book of Proverbs, you'll see that over and over again, the wise man Solomon points out what a grief a disobedient child is to a parent. You know, I can remember growing up, my pastor, until I was probably about 13 years old, was a man named Elder Reed Davis. He's still alive. He lives down in Scriven, Georgia. I was thinking Scriven County, which is where Sylvania is, but he lives in Scriven, Georgia. And I still talk. It's been a while since I've spoken to him, but I have spoken to him. But I can remember as a child, I can remember just being a little boy and how, whenever he would try to preach the gospel, sometimes he would become so overcome with emotion because he had a rebellious child. And he knew it bore upon his ministry. If you don't believe for a second that a rebellious child doesn't bear poorly upon a minister, it doesn't matter, that it doesn't mean that he necessarily can't be a pastor anymore, but it does bear upon his ministry. Everything that a child, that children do bears upon their parents, period. If children are disobedient, it doesn't matter if they're a pastor or a deacon's child, it bears upon the parents regardless. If you say, "Well, I can't do anything with it," it still bears upon us. It still bears upon us. We can try to scoot out from under it all we want to, but it still bears upon the parents. But I tell you, is that an excuse for us to say we cannot serve God? We cannot do what He says? We cannot come to the house of God? We cannot do the things that God has instructed us because of rebellion in our home? I tell you, that's more the reason to do it. The Scripture says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, in speaking of an unbelieving husband, that he may be won by the good conversation of the wife. You know, that teaches me that even an unbelieving husband, one that will not believe the truth, one that will not come under the umbrella of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, can be won by the good conversation of the wife. You know what that means? That means that she's got to have a good conversation. If she's walking in the ways of this world and walking with him, how is she going to win him to the good conversation that the Lord is calling upon her to bring him into? I tell you, that teaches us that there are those that are close to us that may be considered rebellious. But God blessed Moses to continue on in spite of it. He didn't stop right here. You know, people say, "What do you think would have happened? You think God would have called up somebody else, raised up somebody else to send down there to Egypt?" I have no idea, but what I'm telling you is what God's Word says, and that is that she called him a bloody husband thou art to me. She was frustrated with him, and he faced right here in his own home, he faced rebellion. But he continued on in service unto God. I tell you, God blessed him to overcome that. You know, as we look at the life of Moses, not only do we see a man that was blessed by God to to maintain a stature in God's Word, not second to anybody else other than Jesus Christ Himself. But I tell you, we see a man that didn't have a cakewalk. If there's a period in life, a period in Moses' life that you could consider a cakewalk for him, it was probably the time that he was in Pharaoh's house whenever he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had it made. He was in the king's house. He could have propped his feet up and lived like a prince the rest of his life. But the Scripture says in the Hebrews chapter 11 that when Moses, when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for the season. He said, I'm going to serve God. I tell you, there's a lot of feet propping that we can do in this world. And we can live like princes on Sunday morning. There's all kind of football stuff on right now. They got two playoff games this afternoon. I guarantee they started up at 9 o'clock this morning with the pregame shows. And it's amazing. You can watch 6 hours of pregame shows. Boy, you want to talk about it, you're about to go crazy. That drives me crazy. But I tell you, we can prop our feet up in the heat and enjoy those sort of things. Or either we can get our hands dirty in the service to the Lord. And I tell you here, even in spite of being in the midst of a rebellious home, Moses did what God commanded him to do. I tell you what, he didn't have a choice right here, much of a choice, did he? He could have died or he could have done what the Lord told him to do. Scripture says that he sought to kill him. I believe with every ounce of my being, had he not been obedient, he'd have laid there and he'd have died there in that hotel, in that inn. The Scripture refers to it. But I tell you, he charged on and God blessed him. Not only did God bless him in spite of having a rebellious household, God blessed Moses to overcome his past. God blessed Moses to overcome his past. You know, it doesn't matter whether or not you're... doesn't matter what walk of life you come from when you're at the house of God. When you've sought to come to the Lord's house and you've come here to worship Him, you've come here to sing songs and hymns of grace this morning, you're not exempt of a past. Every one of us have one. People say, Brother Will, you fixing to go to calling for altar calls for people to go to confess? No, 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 no. There's some things that belong between you and the Lord. There's some things that you can take up with Him. But I can tell you what, let me bring into remembrance for just a short period of time something this morning. Every one of us got a past. Every one of us. There's not one exempt here who can say that we're scarlet clean in our history. First of all, just let me remind you, there's not one righteous, no, not one. Not one of us can claim to be holy and righteous in and of ourselves. So even if some of ours are dirtier than others, we all have a past. Think for just a second about Moses' past. And think for just a second about what God had called him to do. He didn't just call him to go somewhere else to serve and not address his past. He called him to serve right in the midst of where his past was. If we go back to the second chapter of the book of Exodus, we can read right here, starting with verse 11. The Scripture says that, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of Hebrew strove together. And he said to them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, and he dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Guilty of murder. It's a little man. It's a little man. Don't tell me he didn't have a past. But whenever the Lord visited him in the land of Midian, and he visited him, he didn't tell him to go somewhere far away from it. He didn't tell him that there was any way that he was going to be able to just be able to escape what he did. What he did is he sent him right back in the midst of it. What did the Lord do with the Apostle Paul? Whenever he called him on the road to Damascus, he sent him right back in amongst the very people that he was guilty of being party to killing. The Scripture says that whenever they stoned Stephen, they threw their coats down at the feet of one named who? Saul of Tarsus. And as a matter of fact, that the book of Acts records that whenever the Apostle Paul himself began to preach to the Christians, that they declared that the one who had slain the faithful now preaches the very faith for which he used to persecute those that stood for him. He sent him right back in the midst of where his past was. I tell you, you know, somehow we can get the idea that the past is the past, and there's nothing we have to do with it. And there's a lot of truth to that, but it's not all the truth to it. It takes confronting at times. And I tell you, the way that you confront it is you take up your cross. Take up your cross. And that is, address whatever it was and move on with it. You know, a lot of people love to just drag it through this world. That's not what I'm encouraging you to do, but I'm telling you, don't, because of your past, not serve today. You know, one of the things that I remember growing up is that there was a man that attended the church that I grew up in. And he was about as loving of a man. He was about as faithful of a man on his church attendance as you'll ever find. And each and every Sunday, whenever we made that closing hymn, everybody wondered if he was going to join that day. I tell you, he overshadowed my home with gifts growing up. I remember he was a carpenter, and he'd bring gifts over and over again unto our home. He'd go and somebody dig a cedar, big old stump out of a swamp somewhere. And they'd bring it to him, and he'd make some of the prettiest chests and clothes hampers you've ever seen. Gave us one whenever we got married. I tell you, about as loving of a man as you'll ever meet in your life. But he told everybody whenever they talked to him about joining the church, he said, "I can't." He said, "Me and my neighbor have been in each other's arms. We got in an argument about 20 years ago, and we can't get along. And if I can't get along with my neighbor, I refuse to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ." Let me tell you something. You know what that is? That's somebody saying that their past is going to influence whether or not they can serve today. There's things that our mind is not going to be able to become free of completely until we're glorified in that perfect body whenever the Lord resurrects us from the grave. But I tell you, the best way to serve in the capacity that we have is to confront it and move on away from it. I tell you, there's a lot of, whenever we have whenever I've been invited to preach down in Southeast Georgia, the devil starts a knocking early. Do you think that the folks that used to run in the crowd that you ran with, what do you think they'll have to say if they find out you're preaching at the old Baptist church down the road? How do you think they laugh? How do you think they mock? You think somebody like him could do those sort of things? I tell you what, Satan, he wears in on me. But I tell you, if I refuse to serve today because of things I did years ago, I'll be just as guilty as I was years ago. The apostle, the man Moses, he came and he confronted. He went back amongst the people. He went back in there because God sent him in there. And if you're a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, you're not part of it because God wants you to sit on the sidelines. You're part of it because God wants you to be involved in the kingdom of God. Involved from the standpoint of encouragement. Involved from the standpoint of singing psalms. Involved from the standpoint of offering prayers. Involved in the house of God. I tell you, there's a lot of things that'll drag us down in this world. Fear. Fear is a detriment to fear of things in this world is a detriment to serving God. Not fearing God, but a detriment to serving God. I tell you, your past is running a close second, even if it is second to it. I tell you, Moses went back and the Lord blessed him to overcome it. Sure, they made comments. They knew who he was. They knew who he was. But that never stopped him from going where God sent him. Moses is a man who God blessed to overcome challenges. God has not promised skies always gray. There's challenges in this life. And are we going to rest and trust in God to bless us to overcome them? Or are we just going to lay down and let them just pure run us into the mud? I tell you, Moses, the life of the man named Moses teaches us that God will bless us to overcome them. Think about his natural deficiencies. You can look at it as a learning disability. You can look at it however you want to. But he had a speech impediment. The scripture says that over in, I believe it's in the third chapter, when the Lord called him it's in the fourth chapter, that whenever the Lord called him to go back, he makes mention in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 4, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." He had a condition. You can look at it as being born with or something that he had developed over time. I have no idea. But I tell you, there's a lot of deficiencies that we have here this side of glory. Our bodies are not going to be perfect. not everybody is going to be the same. As a matter of fact, when you think about for just a second what science has discovered over the last several many years, is that none, not one, not two people in this whole world have the same fingerprint. You ever thought about that? Of how unique God made each and every one of us? Not two, even identical twins who share the same DNA, they don't share the same fingerprint. Every single one of us are unique. Every single one of us have challenges that maybe someone else doesn't have. And Moses had one. He had a speech impediment. You know, one of the things that we've had to address in our home with one of our children is we've had to nurture and take care of a deficiency in our home. You know, I've met people throughout my life who I believe that because of a deficiency was stronger in their faith than some who didn't have it. Now, a lot of people would hear that and say, yeah, that's right. God gave them that deficiency. He gave it to them so that they would be stronger in faith. No, that's not what I'm telling you. That's not what the Bible teaches. I remember my first cousin's son who passed away in a car accident in 2005. I believe at the time he was 15 years old. He had a learning disability. I can remember he worked with us on the farm, and everybody else got to cut the food on the way to lunch and back every day. That was the break time. That was the only break time you got on the farm, was whenever somebody wasn't looking and you just decided to take one, or whenever he was on the way back and forth to town to go eat lunch. But we made him read books. His mama said, she can work with y'all on the farm, but on your way to town and on your way back, he has to read to y'all. And he read to us on his way to town and on the way back. And I remember when that boy passed away, I remember telling my first cousin that I believed that at some stage that he was going to finally get to a point where a lot of those things that had drug him down his whole life, he was going to rise above them because people picked on him for it. And I had another cousin who stayed in a fight with people at school because people picked on him because he was dumb according to the ways of this world. There's deficiencies that we have here in this world. Maybe whenever you come to the house of God and I read through the Word of God, it doesn't just soak in like it does for a lot of people. I tell you, I believe that to an extent, I have things that I read it just does not soak right into my mind. There's people I know, though, that all they do is they read it one time and it's stuck. It's glued there. I don't have that. Matter of fact, I got to admit to you this morning, I get a little jealous whenever somebody does have that particular gift. Some people have it. Some people, if they've read it one time, it's stuck. It's there. That's all they have. But nevertheless, that's not the way most of us are. There's challenges here in this world, and a lot of it are things that we're born with. But when we lay down, you know, Moses, he gave a cry of laying down. He gave it to the Lord. You know, he told the Lord, he said, I'm slow of speech. I'm not eloquent. They won't hear me. You know, that's one of the first things that a minister of the gospel is going to have to confront whenever the Lord, they feel the burden to come and to preach the gospel. If Satan's going to whisper in their ears and tell you, you're not capable of preaching the gospel. But what somebody has, it won't take them very long to learn that it is not of themselves that they preach the gospel. It's by God's blessing that they do it. And He can bless a man slow of speech and that is not eloquent to do it just as much as he can an orator that has taken every speech class that the local community college offers. You know, some men are able to get by with the fact that they are a good orator. And I tell you, some men who aren't good orators, if you'll go back and you'll listen to the content of a lot of the sermons that they preach, you'll realize that it was a lot better than that one that you thought was just that was good, that it was nothing but good oratory. But the Lord here says that God's word records that he was of a slow speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, verse 11, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing of the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. The Lord was angry with him because he questioned what God could do. He says, I'm of slow speech. He had plenty of reason to not do what he had been called to do. But the Lord said, I'll take care of you. I tell you what, if there's one thing that my prayer is for the flock at Macedonia, is that we never question what God can do for us. And if God is in the matter, that we can stand upon solid ground, just as the Apostle Paul said to the church at Philippi. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And Moses was no different. He needed the Lord to strengthen his speech. He needed God to bless him. And I tell you, it was a challenge. If you can think for a second, if any of you have ever had to do any speeches at work or in school, worse. Worse. And think for just a second how nervous most of us were of having to approach that particular challenge that existed in our way. And then you go and you put it on the scale of the Lord calling you not only to go and stand before a classroom full of people that ain't really listening anyway. You know, if you got that speech coming up and you face that in your classroom, just remember this. I'm not belittling it and telling you not to take it seriously. But if you think for a second that it's too big of a deal, just think about this. Were you really listening when the rest of them were going? And the odds are, no, you weren't. And they're not going to be listening either. You got to impress the teacher in order to get the grade and get on out of there. And that's all you got to do. But think for just a second about standing before the Lord's people and saying, God has told me something. God has shown me something. And you'll realize what he was up against. He didn't have this word to open up and say, God said. He had to go and stand before them and say, God has called me. Out of a burning bush. He set a bush on fire, but yet it didn't consume the bush. And you think about what the outlook was on. I tell you, God blessed him to overcome a challenge. He had a challenge in his life, and the Lord blessed him to overcome it. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We can face illnesses. We can face challenges in the workplace. We can face raising children. We can do those things. The Lord will bless us to do it. He's given us example after example here in His Word. Not only did God bless him to overcome the challenge of a rebellious home, of a speech impediment, and of his past. Think about the challenge that he had to lead a rebellious people. The challenge that he had to lead a rebellious people. And you say, Brother Will, I'm not a pastor. I'm not called to be one. And I'm not quite sure how this one would apply to me. In some stage of your life, in some area of mostly all of our lives, we have an opportunity to lead. You don't have to be a pastor to be a leader. Pastor's supposed to be a leader, but you don't have to be a pastor to be a leader. A mother is a leader of her home. A daddy is a leader of his home. A person that's a manager at a workplace is a leader in that particular set. If you're called upon to make discernment at the house of God, you're a leader in that particular aspect at the house of God. And far be it from us to have the thought that just because we occupy that particular place, that everybody who hears what we have to say is going to follow us. Let me say that again. Far be it from our mind to think that just because you occupy the position of a leader, that everybody who hears you is going to follow. That's not the case. That's not going to happen with children. It doesn't happen with church members. And you say, Brother Will, give us some examples. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But if you think for a second that every time I've said something up here, everybody has formed a line and started following, no, we're not going to. You know, we're not perfect this side of glory. And odds are if you've told me something, probably I haven't followed it to a jot and to a tittle. None of us will. I tell you, but the Lord blessed him to overcome the challenge to get the job done. To get the job done to lead that people, a rebellious people. Think for just a second at the end of chapter 5. Think of the conversation that took place between those men that Moses came face to face with whenever Moses and Aaron stood by the way. And these particular men, after God had already sent Moses to go and he had faced Pharaoh said they got too much time on their hands. If they got enough time to be praying unto God to deliver them, then they got time to go gather their own straw. They've got time to do things that we used to provide for them. If they've got that much time on their hands, then they've got time to work a little more. So now they're going to have to gather their own straw and still produce the same amount of bricks. And all of this is because of Moses and Aaron, according to the people of Israel. All is their fault. If you've ever been in a work setting that, I can remember being in a classroom before, and because one wouldn't hush, the rest of us didn't get to go eat. Now, we got to go in time just to kind of stop it down. But, man, I tell you what, I don't know if they'd let people get away anymore with what teachers used to make us do. And I know it probably was better whenever I came along than when a lot of you came along. I can remember they made us squat in the hallway and bend our knees with our back up against the wall and hold our hands out there. From what I understand, that's a form of some type of punishment now that the military uses to get secrets out of people. But they had the whole class lined up. And there we went. And it was only because of one or two that we had to do that. I can remember us having to lay our heads on the desk, flat on the desk, and look one way. And it was because if one person picked their head up off that desk before she said it was time to go, then the time started over. The clock started over. Boy, I tell you what, if you ever want to just grab somebody and shake them and say, cut it out, man. Look at what you're causing the rest of us. That was the mindset that these were in. Look at what Moses and Aaron have caused us. Look at what they brought upon us. We used to have the straw brought to us to create these bricks. Now we have to go and collect our own. I tell you, look at what it says starting with verse 20 of Exodus chapter 5. The scripture says that they met Moses and Aaron who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our servant to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and the eyes of his servant to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. How willing do you think this group was to follow this one that had come and had brought this upon them? I tell you, they were not a bunch of obedient sheep. They were not a bunch of good old Baptists that love to hear the gospel truth, that want to be told, how do we help somebody? How do we do what God tells us in His Word? That was not what He had been brought forth to lead at this particular point. They're angry with it. They're rebellious people. If you think about not only this particular instance, think about the things that they did throughout the life whenever the Lord led them out of Egypt and they were clear gone from there. Think about the fact that while he's up there in the mound and the Lord is giving him the laws, they're down there making an idol out of gold, a golden calf. Think about the fact that later on they start chiding and saying that back in Egypt we had meat galore, but yet now we're reduced to manna here in the wilderness. That the Lord sent quail upon them to the point where Scripture says it came out of their nostrils. And you want to talk about being fooled to the gill. The Lord made sure that He had the last say in the ones that had been rebellious. They were rebellious people. They didn't always listen with what Moses had said. But God delivered him through it. Think of where He brought these people. From Egypt. From bondage. To the very banks of Canaan land. To cross over and to enjoy the rich blessings of God. He delivered them. He stood as you and I should stand and say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to do that, to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. The Lord's never called us to bring people unto submission to make them follow our leadership. There's some things that we just need to say and let the Lord take care of the rest. He will. He sent those quail upon them. They had to eat it till it came out of their nostrils. He brought the punishment upon them for making that calf. There's some things that the Lord will take care of. He'll overcome that challenge for us. Think about leading a rebellious child or leading a rebellious spouse. And think about the loss that you feel in the midst of that and how you're at a point where you don't know what else to do. I mean, I know. I was charged not too long ago with not knowing anything because, according to who charged me with it, my family, my wife comes to church with me and all my children do and everything's hunky-dory. And so I don't know what it's like to go through any challenges. I tell you, even a small one seems to shake things around our house. We couldn't get a 13-month-old weaned. And I tell you what, if you think for just a second, without going weeks on end, without any sleep around your house, you'll be a wuss and you don't know what to do, but God will bless you to overcome the challenge. And you say, Brother Will, that's a mild comparison. That's all we need is just a comparison. God will deliver us in the midst of this. Moses' life declares it. I tell you, not only does Moses show us that he overcame a rebellious people, a rebellious household. God blessed him too. Let me add that in case you think that you leave here today and say, God said Moses did all these things. No, I'm telling you that God blessed Moses to do these things, and he by faith did them. He's listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. God blessed him to do it. He overcame a rebellious household, a rebellious people, a deficiency of his flesh, his past. One of the things that probably people who love Jesus and who serve God in the best capacity that they can in our world today are most fearful of is government. A lot of them are. A lot of them are. You know, there's a lot of new laws that are being declared. Things like hate crimes. There's no doubt about it that if interpreted a certain way, a man preaching against certain sins can be declared guilty of a hate crime. You know, one of these days, you're saying, Brother Will, do you think that one of these days that the government, I don't know, I'm just telling you that the way that things are interpreted in our world today, and the way that people hate ones who just want to mind their own business. A lot of people are fearful of the government and the power of the government. But look at Moses. And look at what he overcame. And you say, God did those things by Moses' hand. God did those things. God blessed him to overcome a wicked government. A wicked death. The scripture says that they raised up a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. Could have cared less about the people of Israel. The only thing that he cared about was his power. That was it. That was the reason why he had made them what they were. It was because he was fearful that they were going to become of such a stature that they could overthrow them. If there's something that will scare a politician, it's the fear that somebody's going to take their cushion out from under the seat and they're going to have to sit on the hard board again. And that's what Pharaoh had. He had fear that these people were raising to that. They were getting to that point. But look at Pharaoh. He came and he stood face to face with them. It doesn't mean that in the midst of whatever may come our way, whatever the future may hold for us, that we have to hold church on the courthouse square or anything like that. But it just means that God's called us to do what we should do. And he's shown us here that if we do what we're supposed to do, he'll bless us to overcome the challenges that lie in our way. They may wrap chains over the gate out there one of these days. See, do I know that? No, I don't. But I do know that more and more in our country, there's a less and less tolerance for people that just want to do it just like this book says. Less and less, it's being tolerated, less and less. You have to be open to certain things of this world in order to be viewed as being okay. And the less and less we're okay with it, the more and more people are going to despise us for it. But are we going to get to the point where that should hinder us from serving God? You know, there's things that our civil government is okay with that is just an abomination in the eyes of God to me. I don't care. People say, you know, what party, Brother Will? Both of them. It's abomination. It's an abomination in the eyes of God to shed the shedding of innocent blood. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. And so many people these days, they've compromised on it. And they're willing, because one party will watch after their money a little bit more, they're willing to say that these sort of things are all right. No, it's an abomination. But it's a challenge. It's something that we've enjoyed a great blessing with in our country for the last 200 some years. That God has blessed us with freedom. What have we done with it? I believe we've in a lot of cases we've squandered it. One of Satan's best tools just said, I'm going to lay back and let them have all these things and they'll become slothful in it. It's a challenge though. Are we going to trust God and say, Lord, bless us to overcome it? Or are we going to lay down in the way and just let it overcome us? There ain't but two routes we can take. And I tell you, I believe the life of Moses teaches us that he'll bless us to overcome it. May the Lord bless us with the confidence that we need in our Father in heaven to face our challenges here in this world and to be willing to say, Lord, see me through. Thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Standing with gaze out on the tomorrow, memories of childhood come from behind, memories from youth on which we can borrow, they will support, give strength to the mind. Jesus is faithful, Jesus is faithful, he cannot fail.
He cannot fail me, Jesus is true.